Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
A lot of people don't want to use any more resources or put out any more.
Maybe produced by animation.
I'm a bit scared because of all that happened.
I do that to glory. It's my heavenly father.
That is a threat on the radio.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Our truth is our bitch. And where we take it through that looking glass, through that prism of reality, and we show you what it is you're listening to. That's what we do. We show you what you're listening to on this show. Our number is, I wish I could describe it more accurately. I guess we could say it's just what it is. 877-876-PHIL. That's what it is.
Right. You can't say, if you don't know what it is, then you never...
I got a message at Facebook from a guy who was questioning the very nature of our show. You know, he wasn't really doing that at all. He was saying, boy, that woman you had on the air. And he was really upset. And I said, let me ask you something. Why did you friend request me? He said, well, I'm enjoying listening to you as I go home. And then he said, and I really like that Bud Dickman. He's really funny.
Why are you kidding me, man?
He did?
Yeah. So in other words, the only guy on the show that he thinks is funny is you.
That's about right.
Why don't you yell a little bit? That's about right.
Can you hear me? I can come up a little bit closer if you want.
All right. Okay, fine. Anyway, that's what he said. I said, you keep listening because you're in for a shock. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And then he said, but Bud Dickman.
That big fail.
So anyway.
He said by Robert Leonard.
Anyway, we've got news to report here as we get into our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard and me, Phil Hendry. We have news to report on the Ronnie Chasen story. Ronnie Chasen, the publicist, a longtime entertainment business publicist who was murdered a couple of weeks ago. Pardon me, but I got a headphone cord caught in all of this news. There was a breaking story this evening that the Beverly Hills police were serving a search warrant at the Harvey Apartments on Santa Monica just after 6 p.m., and that would be 6 p.m. Wednesday night, correct? Yes, so that was tonight, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Authorities believe the unidentified man that they were attempting to serve this warrant on, a search warrant on, pulled a gun and shot himself at the Hollywood Apartments. They believe may have been the shooter that they're looking for. Now, police were serving a search warrant to look through this guy's apartment, so they had reason to believe that he was either a person of interest or he had some material relevance to the case. But they were serving this search warrant at the Harvey Apartments on Santa Monica Boulevard after 6 o'clock this last evening, Wednesday evening, 9 o'clock Eastern. And he is believed to be linked to the murder of Hollywood publicist Ronnie Chasen. He shot and killed himself as the police were approaching. Detectives received information suggesting the man would be at his apartment Wednesday night. The source also said, talking to the Los Angeles Times, also said the man had been under police surveillance for some time. Police reportedly approached the man in the lobby of the building, and he refused orders to raise his hands. He then pulled out a pistol and shot himself in the head. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Good God Almighty. Now, this is an instance, by the way, folks, where nobody ever gives the cops any credit. You know, here's a guy that pulled a gun out, and these are police officers that have ordered him to put his hands up. He had enough time to pull out that gun and kill himself. Now, there are those who would say, you know, if those cops had pulled their weapons and shot that guy dead, aha, you see how quick they are to use the weapon? This guy pulled a gun out, and these cops, they don't know, and he puts it to his head and he kills himself. Chasen was gunned down last month near Sunset Boulevard and Whittier Drive while driving home from a movie premiere. Investigators told Channel 5 of Los Angeles the murder of Chasen was planned well in advance. So that blows my theory that it was road rage.
Yeah, you thought it was just somebody drive up?
That's what I thought. And apparently this was, in point of fact, a targeted hit on Ronnie Chasen. So we're, oh, God. She had just left the after party for the premiere of the Sharon Christina Aguilera movie Burlesque when someone opened fire on her Mercedes, striking her five times. Residents reported hearing immaculately timed gunshots at the time of the incident, as well as motorcycles traveling around the area the evening before Chasen was killed, possibly in an effort to scout the location. That's just speculation. The mayor of Beverly Hills, Jimmy Delshad, said police have obtained footage from one of the perhaps multiple security cameras located at a residence near the shooting. Chasen reportedly thought she was being followed months before her death. The publicist suspected she was being followed by an unknown person back in March and told friends she was scared, according to the New York Post. Beverly Hills police issued a terse statement from Chief David Snowden that sought to reassure the public Chasen's shooting was a rare isolated incident. Snowden also said some information that had been reported to the press relied on erroneous information, though he did not say what it was. Several residents dialed 911 at the time of the attack. Those phone calls, I guess, will be coming out. The first call from a resident living near Sunset and Benedict Canyon reported a gunshot. Moments later, more 911 calls. So detectives are studying those calls, and they were looking for surveillance tape that might shed light on the case. So, again, this is a story from earlier this evening as they were attempting to serve a search warrant in this Ronnie Chasen case. The man who they were attempting to serve, a guy known to the neighbors in that apartment building as Harvey.
That's the guy's name?
Well, no, is it Harvey or Harold? The name of the apartments is Harvey, the Harvey Apartments. It's Harold. Yeah. And this man fatally shot himself in the head as police were attempting to arrest him. They had told him to put his hands in the air. I guess they were going to arrest him. They did have a search warrant. The suspect in the Ronnie Chasen case, who fatally shot himself Wednesday night in that Los Angeles apartment building, had told residents that he was an ex-convict who served time in state prison. Neighbor Brandon Harrison said he knew the man only as Harold and that he had moved into the Harvey Apartments 3 months ago but was evicted for the first month for failing to pay rent. After the first month, Harold had returned to the building repeatedly and asked Harrison and others if police were looking for him. Harrison said Harold described himself as an ex-convict who served two stints in state prison, the most recent for firearms and drug convictions. Harold vowed that he would never go back to prison, according to Harrison. According to this guy,
maybe that's why he killed himself. He said, they'll never take me alive or anything.
I don't know, but if it's that dramatic, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if it's that dramatic. I don't know if it's, you know, life ain't like a movie, okay? Anyway, this guy said, Mr. Harrison described Harold as an ex-convict who served two stints. He said he told me several times if it ever came back down to me going to prison, I would die first. He said Harold told him that he was supposed to be getting $10,000 at one point, saying it was for a job he did on another occasion, saying it was from a lawsuit. Mr. Harrison, who is the neighbor, said he had no way of corroborating Harold's claims. I don't even know if he was ever in prison or if anything he told me was true. The man was very strange.
Yeah, I'll see.
So that's the latest we have on that. So a man that the L.A. Beverly Hills police were attempting to serve with a search warrant pulled a gun and shot himself in, I believe, in the lobby of the apartment building where the Beverly Hills police were, or was it the LAPD? Well, it was Beverly Hills and maybe LA police who were attempting to serve this guy. There was an ex-detective who had made this claim. Gil Carrillo, who has recently retired from the Los Angeles Police Department, said that whoever killed Ronnie Chasen was an expert shot who was able to squeeze off multiple rounds in a tight and deadly formation. Gil Carrillo, who recently retired as a lieutenant after 38 years with the L.A. County Sheriff, said he reviewed the document after it was obtained by Channel 11 of Los Angeles. The thing that stands out is the shots, where they were, and the lack of hits anywhere else. It's a good shot group. God.
What's that mean, a good shot group?
In other words, they didn't waste any ammo. Every bullet hit her.
Oh.
The close grouping suggests the shooting was carried out by a hitman and was not the result of a gang attack or road rage. Beverly Hills police have not released a possible motive and remain tight-lipped about the progress. That was a story that came out before the story about this man. So that's bizarre. The LA police are not LA police or Beverly Hills police are not releasing the name of the man that was shot by police officers last night. The name Harold is just a name that came from one of the neighbors there. So, yeah, I don't want to say that, you know, this isn't a game, but I did think that they'd wrap this thing up within, you know.
Well, you said 2 weeks.
All right. It wasn't too. I didn't think it would take them long to. And I ain't saying that they wrapped it up necessarily. I'm just saying that. Now, here is an update. Fox 11 says the man shot himself as he was being served with a search warrant. He's still officially labeled as just a person of interest, according to the New York Times. This was not a guy we were going to arrest. We only wanted to question him, Lieutenant Tony Lee of the Beverly Hills Police Department told People magazine. He was shot as he was being served with a search warrant. He is still officially being labeled as just a person of interest. We didn't want to arrest him. We just wanted to question him. Well, you know.
Well, what do you think, man? Are they just saying stuff or what?
Well, I don't know. These are police officers speaking police speak. So, you know, based upon the experience just you and I have as news consumers, we're not cops. But every time we hear a cop talk like that, it's generally, well, let's ask him some questions because we think this guy is worth asking questions of. And they also had a search warrant. So they thought that there was something on his premises that might help him. So that's updated moments ago from Channel 11 News. The lieutenant there, Tony Lee of the Beverly Hills Police, said we were attempting to serve the guy. We were not going to arrest him. We only wanted to question him. All right, our number here is 877-876-PHIL. We're in our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Coming up, the top web searches of 2010. Plus, we still to come some drama on the set of CNN. And tomorrow, catch me live tomorrow in an interview on KDTV.com. That's KDTV, KADYTV.com. I'll be interviewed at 4 o'clock Pacific time tomorrow afternoon with Maria Sanchez on KADYTV.com. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Where was this shooting? Was this shooting where? This was, I'm still just looking here at...
Like Beverly Hills or something.
I don't know, man. I'm looking at the story. A man linked to the killing of Ronnie Chasen was shot by Beverly Hills police. Okay. All right, so in other words, it was in Hollywood. It was out of their jurisdiction. That's in Los Angeles. The Harvey apartments are in Hollywood. So the Beverly Hills police, did they shot him or did the LAPD shoot him? I'm not saying anything is wrong. I just wonder, in cases like that, what exactly is the protocol? You know, as they say, obviously. No, he shot him. No, you're right. He shot himself. What the hell am I saying? You know.
Yeah, he shot himself and then they shot him.
Yeah.
What do you mean he shot himself and then they shot him?
Well, I mean, he shot himself and then didn't they open up? And that's what they do.
No, they didn't open up. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, when he shot himself, then they, well, maybe not.
No, they didn't open up.
I thought that's what happened.
No, that ain't what happens. Oh, yeah, the guy shoots himself, and then they start piling the bullets in. Why? To make sure he was a good shot?
I don't know.
Anyway, here is the top Yahoo searches. These are the top searches on Yahoo for 2010. Isn't this exciting? Well, what does this tell you? What we were interested in at any given time during the year 2010, as we come to the end of 2010. The BP oil spill, the first time that news story has taken the number one slot. The top 10 internet... What does that mean, the first time that a news story has taken... Oh, okay. The first time a news story has taken the number one slot. Anyway, the BP oil spill was the number one search story on Yahoo during the year 2010. I know I'm reading these in reverse order. I don't care. Number two, the World Cup. Number three, wait till we get to number 10. You'll be really excited to know. Anyway, number three, Miley Cyrus. I can believe that because I was hallucinating Miley Cyrus when I was in the hospital. Number four, Kim Kardashian. I can believe that because I was hallucinating her when I was in the hospital. Number five, Lady Gaga. I can believe that.
You're hallucinating her too.
Not her, but part of her. Anyway, number six, look at this, iPhone. The number six most searched thing on Yahoo in the year 2010, the iPhone. And I got my iPhone earlier in the year. I remember iPhone was that's all anybody could talk about. And then that damn iPad. And, of course, right after iPad came out, everybody, all they could talk about was how crappy it was. Now they're talking about how great it is. Number 7, Megan Fox. Number 8, Justin Bieber. Number 9, American Idol. And finally, the 10th most searched person, and this is a person in 2010, Britney Spears. I don't get it. Yahoo this year was inundated with searches about the BP oil spill, the World Cup, and Miley Cyrus, making those terms Yahoo's most popular search queries. Rounding out the top five, as we mentioned, Kim Kardashian and pop music star lady, as we call her here on the Phil Hendry Show, Gaga.
Or Gag.
Gag. The Transocean oil rig explosion and the resulting spill dominated online activity, making the BP oil spill this year's top search. It was big. I remember how depressing it was, too. Remember how it just took up the whole summer? Because we thought, this is going to suck, man. The summer has just started, and here is a oil spill, the likes of which we've never seen before. It's going to turn the Gulf into a sewer of just death. Just a sewer of death. It's going to turn the Florida coast even funkier than it is. I'm kidding, okay?
Yeah, you get calls now.
No, I'm kidding. I talked to friends in Florida. It's going to make the Gulf Coast of Florida, it was going to be horrible because, you know, people are there on the beach. And then, thank God, man, they capped that thing. I'm telling you, that was one of the big days for me, man. It really was. It's funny, and I didn't really share it, but, I mean, just for me, that was a huge piece of news because I was seriously depressed. I didn't know how long that was going to go on and just exactly what it was going to do to the world's ecology, if you think about it. The World Cup, meanwhile, ground productively to a slow crawl, Yahoo said, with people searching for data about the rules of the game, as well as gossip about controversies and information about South African traditions with that ever-buzzing vuvuzela. Remember that thing?
Oh, not that, man. That'll drive me out of my mind with that thing.
Yeah, I remember when we had one. Let me go get it.
No, don't get that thing, that vuvuzela or whatever the hell it is. The remainder of the top 10 were all pop culture favorites, with the exception of the iPhone at number 6. Also on the list were actress Megan Fox, singer Justin Bieber. I can't believe that cat's number 8, man. That dude, all anybody could talk about was that guy for days and days and weeks on end. American Idol and singer Britney Spears. Spears has dominated the Yahoo list for a decade. A decade. And despite not having a record release or any noteworthy meltdowns this year, she managed to stay in the top 10, according to Yahoo. Earlier this week, Microsoft said that Kim Kardashian, with her marvelous career, actress Sandra Bullock and golfer Tiger Woods topped its list of most popular terms searched on Bing. So there you go, man.
By the way, you got Ping?
Ping? You mean on iTunes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
What's that for?
I don't know. 87th, I really don't. Ping, I don't get it about Ping. I could care less whether people know what I'm playing, you know. But I got it anyway because I thought it would be interesting to, you know, see if, you know, Kim Kardashian or...
Yeah.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So that's the story there. And then the other one that we were looking at here is, what's the number? What was the other one? Oh, yeah, the CNN meltdown thing. Apparently, I don't know how this happened, but apparently the co-hosts on Spitzer and Parker, or Parker Spitzer or something, they're not getting along. Now, the sidekick is really the one who is upset. And when I say sidekick, I mean the woman.
Well, that's what it is.
Well, of course. There's a reason why the show is called Parker Spitzer. They wanted her to feel good. But you know that a big mouth like that, he's going to take it over. And he did. So Elliot Spitzer's TV sidekick is so fed up with playing second fiddle to this jackass that she's threatened to walk. Washington Post columnist Kathleen Parker actually stormed off the set of the Parker Spitzer show during a pre-taping a few weeks ago, furious that her co-host is continually allowed to take charge of their nightly CNN chat fest. Although still fuming, Parker did return to wrap up the segment, but she's angry the show's producers are allegedly doing nothing to play up her strengths on the ailing show. Some staffers said Spitzer, the hard-charging former state attorney general who resigned as governor in 2008 after admitting that he had a sexually transmitted disease, after admitting to patronizing prostitutes, thrust himself up front and center. Yeah, I'll bet he did.
Yeah, I'll use that word thrust.
Thrust himself up front and center right out of the gate, leaving Parker without a chance. So he thrust himself right up in front of Packer, and she didn't have a chance, huh?
That's what he says.
But other insiders said the Pulitzer Prize-winning Parker has only herself to blame. Why? She's got the personality of a mailbox. No, she's a conservative, nationally syndicated newspaper columnist, which, of course, at CNN spells, you don't get any FaceTime. We're going to give it to Spitz. She's widely respected, but she's no TV personality, critics said. Like Spitzer is? Boy, that guy's about as freaky-looking, man, as the man from Mars.
Yeah, I don't like the way the guy looks either. Looked like like there's something wrong with, like there's a chromosome missing or something like that.
Chromosome missing. Anyway, her weaknesses are felt internally, a source said. That's TV talk for we really don't know what's wrong, but it's not our fault for hiring her. All right, we'll be right back here on a Phil Henry Show. Could Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer defeat NCIS in the ratings war? Who cares is what I say, but I guess we'll read that. Christians and Atheists in New York next. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me explain what's happening. You know, I always like to explain what's happening. And there's so many things that need to be explained when it comes to what's happening. You know, there's politics, and there's love, and there's life, and there's death, and there's taxes, and there's news. There's a lot of things. And you know, we say on the show, well, you know you're living through revolutionary times among the many revolutionary times that you're living through. You're living through a media war. There's a war that the print media is losing. It's a war that in many ways the broadcast media is losing. But to the extent that they're losing it, I don't think you're aware. And that's why we keep reminding you, because in the print world, the New York Daily News is the latest to fall prey to the following thing. Since we can't do news adequately anymore, let's just do shtick. New York Times has done it. The LA Times has done it. And on TV, Cooper Anderson or whatever the hell his name is, he does it. I watch that jackass. I don't know. One day he's doing news. The next day he's doing shtick. I don't know what he is, you know. There's those of us who do humor, and there's those of us who do straight talk, and there's those of us who do news, and there's, you know, everybody to his strengths and his talents. But when you can't even report the news anymore, and you decide that you're going to, because you think it's funny, you decide you're going to report a story as if it's actual news. Now, this is written by Melina Hartenstein of the New York Daily News as a real news story. It was a comment made by Margaret Cho in a blog that she writes. It was a joke, but this stupid bitch writing for the New York Daily News has decided to turn it into a news story. And why? Because she can. Because if you are a newspaper, people will take you seriously and say, oh, this is a newspaper. You know? And they do news, unless they're turning the New York Daily News now into a comedy rag. Bristol Palin, now this is what Margaret Cho writes in her blog, and it's very funny. Bristol Palin almost won Dancing with the Stars, but did her mom force her to be on the show as revenge for getting pregnant? That's what Bristol's former dancing competitor Margaret Cho claimed in a blog post this week, citing sources close to Palin. I heard from someone who really should know that the only reason Bristol was on the show was because Sarah Palin forced her to do it, Cho wrote. Sarah supposedly blames Bristol harshly and openly in the circles that I heard it from for not winning the election. Yeah, for not winning the election, she blames her daughter, so she forced her to be on Dancing with the Stars. So that America would fall in love with her again and make it possible for Sarah Palin to run in 2012 with America behind her all the way. This sounds like a bit we do.
It does. Just reading about it like it does.
Well, it ain't a bit. Not according to the New York Daily News. It's real. It's true. They're quoting Margaret Cho's blog, a comedian, and they're reporting it as news. Now, why are they doing that? because they don't know how to report news any longer. So therefore, there's nothing to report. So therefore, by deadline time, they're so desperate, they're ready to do what that guy did in the lobby of the Harvey Apartments, just go ahead and blow their brains out. And instead, they go ahead and they read blogs, Margaret Cho's blog, and they pull something from that and they turn it into a news story. And the New York Daily News says, go ahead and do that, because the average news consumer, especially in New York, is an idiot. That's what they're doing. Now, they may think they're funny. They may think they're cute, but I'll tell you right now, and I'm being serious, it's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. You guys are going down for the count. I swear to God, man, I hope that people are wiping with your rag by the end of this year. You don't know what you're doing anymore. You're such a joke. All of you, man. I'm going to the LA Times, New York Times, New York Daily News, The Post, all of these rags. I don't know what they're doing anymore. She's reporting this as news. So in any event, and then, of course, you know, they might say, well, you know, the shoe, we dropped the shoe at the end. You know, we tell her, look, man, you know, I'm reading your newspaper to get news. I don't know what it is you clowns do for a living anymore, but that's why I was reading it, to get the news. Now you're telling me you're doing shtick? Co-host spitting. So we already told you about the Elliot Spitzer thing, which I actually wanted to keep reading, but screw it. TV ratings, and here we go with Glee again. My producer's such a Glee fan, we cannot go the night without mentioning that Glee lost, at least in the 8 p.m. hour. And I'm happy to hear that. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, 8 o'clock last night, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. 40 years now we've been watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Rudolph kicked ass last night, beating Glee, 12 million viewers to 11.6. NBC special Christmas in Rockefeller Center, 11.3 million. ABC special Dr. Seuss, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, 7 million. And Shrek the Halls, 7.4 million. In the 9 o'clock hour, it sounds like a horse race, doesn't it?
Yeah, you sound like Joe Hernandez or something, man.
In the 9 o'clock hours, NCIS. NCIS rerun, 15 million. The Biggest Loser, 8.5 million. No Ordinary Family, 6 million. Raising Hope, wiping up the rear. And finally, in the 10 o'clock hour, CBS special, Victoria's Secret Fashion Show, 9 million. Is that all? The Biggest Loser, 8 million. And like that. And finally, here's a story that's got some New Yorkers, interested. As if trying to negotiate the traffic wasn't hard enough, drivers coming into New York City via the Lincoln Tunnel are getting caught in a battle of beliefs. First, an anti-Christmas billboard was set up by the American Atheists outside a New Jersey entrance to the tunnel. It says, you know, it's a myth. This season, celebrate reason. The Catholic League countered with its own billboard near one of the tunnel's New York City entrances, bearing the message, you know, it's real. This season, celebrate Jesus. There was a certain sense of exasperation when the anti-Christmas billboard went up before Thanksgiving, said Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League. We can't enjoy the Christmas season without someone trying to dumb it down or neuter it. The atheist group picked its billboard site because of the high-profile location that would guarantee it was seen by a lot of drivers going by, according to the group president David Silverman, some pain in the ass.
Why do you say that? He's got a right to the constitutional amendments.
Yeah, does he? Yes, I know he does.
Yeah, why do you call him that?
Because he's a pain in the ass, because I think atheists are a pain in the ass. There, how about that? I think they're a pain in the ass. I'm not saying that they don't have the constitutional right. They're a pain in the ass, and they know they are, and they want to be. They want to be. They can't stand the fact that some people believe in God. They actually have deluded themselves into thinking that a belief in God has somehow made their lives bad. These fools... Yeah, let me tell you something about God, and I said this... I said this to somebody once, and, oh, boy, they were just, you know, these clowns that we talked to from this atheist group in Wisconsin, I talked to that chick, and she says, I celebrate the summer solstice. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, you're talking about ladies, it's the winter solstice.
The winter solstice. I said, you're an atheist. Why? I don't understand. Well, what do you mean? I said, why do you celebrate the winter? It's the changing of the seasons. It's the longest day. Yeah, but what is that about? If you're an atheist, are you, that's pagan. And it really pissed her off. She called me stupid. I mean, you know, she didn't like what I said, because I basically said, your belief as an atheist with your cookie exchange on the winter solstice, will you give me a break? That's all pagan jazz, man. All right? So then I went even one better, and I said the following thing. And this really pisses people off, because then they say, well, no, because I've changed my way of thinking. Well, I'm sorry, but you can't do it. Like, the human brain, going back, you know, 500,000 years to the point where we left the the world of Cro-Magnon and became fully human. The idea of spirituality and the idea of spiritual beings, the idea that there is a world apart from the physical world, has been drilled into us from the very beginning. It was part of the emergence of human intelligence. This was not something that we just said, I think I'll go and piss everybody off and invent a God. We didn't do that.
What are you talking about, man? There wasn't no God when man... Are you talking about the first man that wasn't an ape?
I'm talking about the first man that wasn't an ape, yeah.
Well, what do you mean? There wasn't no God then.
Yeah, there was. We worshiped the sun.
Yeah, but that's physical.
It doesn't make any difference. We believed in a superior being. The sun was there. We worshiped the sun. Okay? And long before there was God, long before there was Jesus, long before there was anything, we believed in spiritual forces or the forces of something external from us that was guiding us. Now, why did we come up with that as early man? Was it so we could piss off the other monkeys in the camp? You know,
maybe the other monkeys. There's no monkey to believe in that.
The other, you know, early ape men that we were, we would just, you know, I think I'll worship the sun. Wait a minute, man, there's no sun god. Well, you know what? I think there is. So how about that? So we had a big freaking fight around a campfire, you dumbass atheist. Have you ever thought about that one? Anybody out there that's an atheist? What the hell were these early apes doing screaming about sun gods when supposedly this is a foreign concept that we've conned ourselves into, this whole idea of God? This is something that goes back to the very beginning. This is something that goes back to the very moment that man opened his eyes and said, I'm here. I am a man. He individuated from nature, and suddenly we were no longer animals. We were people. We were something that was not quite animal because we had a sense of ourselves, a sense of others around us, a feeling of love and compassion, things that we never knew as animals.
What day was that?
Oh, it was probably on a front. What do you mean, what day was it? I don't know what day. It was a time when it happened is all.
Well, like when we became human beings.
Right. The Bible says, well, you know, we ate from the tree of knowledge. And says that when we ate from the tree of knowledge, we became unhappy and we became embarrassed. And we became all the things that we know that we would become if you seek to know more than just, you know, being an animal in the Garden of Eden, if we seek to experience more and know more. Well, that's what we did. We took our chances. We rolled the dice. We said, I want to see what's over the next hill. Pissed off God, did all that stuff. But the point is, we came up with these concepts. So I would say this to people who are atheist friends of mine. They're like, what are you talking about? I said, what do you mean, what am I talking about? Are you telling me that you all of a sudden one day woke up and decided that you're just going to crap can 500,000 years of DNA and genetic and neural pathways being burned into your brain about gods? You're just going to get rid of that, huh? You're just going to decide that that isn't what it is.
What do you mean, like neural pathway and stuff? The guy said, no, God, he can believe in it and everything.
Yeah, okay, maybe he can, but he has no right to tell me that's the facts. Maybe he's really convinced himself, and he's really working overtime to get his brain straight so he can be an atheist. Good for you, man, because we all know, at least those of us that are intelligent, you're working overtime to believe that crap. You think I'm working overtime to believe in God? Dude, you're working double shift to believe there ain't one, because you're working against nature. So anyway, that's what these poor people in New York are having to put up with. Some dumbass there with the, You know it's a myth. Silverman said the group hoped the billboard would gain attention, but was surprised by the Catholic group's response. He said he thought it was kind of a mockery since it so closely followed the text of the atheist sign. It is. It's almost as if they're about to say, I know you are, but what am I, he said. Well, maybe. Because you guys aren't exactly offering anything all that witty yourselves. Donahue said his group's billboard was not negative and was actually a positive statement. We wanted to respond with a more positive statement as opposed to denigrating them. Silverman said the atheist billboard cost around $20,000. Donahue said his billboard cost $18,000. And Silverman said, see, we got more money than you. And Donahue said, all right, there it is. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back to wrap up this marvelous show we're having tonight here on the world-famous, I'm serious, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We are. It's a lot of fun. Don't forget, tomorrow afternoon at 4 Pacific time, catch me being interviewed on the Maria Sanchez Show on KADYTV.com. KAYTV.com. Tomorrow afternoon.
listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Some story here about tiny houses. Okay, great. I look into it. What it is a trailer. Hey, look at this. Really little houses. Oh, no, they're trailers shaped like houses. That's what I mean. Hey, here's a really interesting story. It's about little tiny houses, $40,000 to $50,000. And I was at, well, okay, so where, you still got to buy the land. No, they're trailers. Well, whatever, man, you know. Nowadays, what we have is not just the reporting of news, because the news is so dull, I guess, according to some people. They got to jazz it up with a headline. Some say bigger is better, but in the wake of the real estate bust, a small but growing number of Americans are now buying or building tiny houses. No, they're not. They're stinking trailers, man. It's like the old trailer you used when you were on your way to the campgrounds, only these are smaller. They're little tiny houses on trailers. Oh, God. Deliver me, please, God, from this stuff. And I read this garbage so you guys know that you got to wade through this stuff every night yourselves, every day. And there's going to be a time when I'm going to call a halt to it. I'm going to go through this news every night, and I'm going to look to see, is this really a story, or is this some guy looking to sell a product, and he conned Fox TV DC into helping him sell the product as a news story? Do you understand? Well, I can't really make any headway selling this crap. I know, I'll get TV station to come out and report as a news story. And that's what we're going to start doing as of tomorrow. And that way I will know whether there's really something worthy of talking about, or what am I doing helping some guy sell his bad idea of a tiny house on wheels. Parents concerned. Now, here's a great idea. Put your baby on a diet.
What are you talking about, man?
Oh, we're talking about pudgy baby? Yeah. It used to be that a pudgy baby was a joy to behold, according to somebody. This is from ParentDish.com. They lie regularly, too.
Man, don't you trust nobody?
No, I don't. No, I don't. It used to be that a pudgy baby was a joy to behold with chubby cheeks, just begging to be pinched by grandma and strangers alike, or to be abducted by a guy for money. Yes, no, it doesn't say that, but it used to be that a pudgy baby was a joy to behold with chubby cheeks, just begging to be pinched by grandmas and strangers alike. Yeah, I'll bet strangers alike.
No, they shouldn't say that. That's bad. I know. Why they put that in there?
I don't know. That whole strangers thing, you know. What do you mean strangers? Don't you dare to. Nowadays, people are freaked out if their kid gets touched by a stranger. You know that?
I've seen some people get upset about that. Don't touch my kid.
Yeah. You know, oh, look at the little tiny. Don't you put your paws on my kid. What the? You've been sweating into those hands? Get out of here. What a world, huh? Yet, with the growing trend of childhood obesity, more and more parents are reportedly putting their babies on diets. You got to be kidding me. You got some big fat kid? That's not the kid's. I guarantee you, show me a fat kid and I'll show you two fat parents.
Probably. Did you ever see a big fat pudge baby with skinny parents?
What about that one kid looked like a chow dog? What kid looked like a chow dog? What are you talking about?
Yeah, one kid that's got the wrinkled face.
Oh, that one big Asian kid. Yeah, I don't know what that was about.
What about like Jimmy the Greek said, you get the big black and you put...
Will you shut up about that, man? Blogger Jessica Katz wrote on momlogic.com of a mother in her playgroup, who confessed to putting water in her seven-month-old bottles instead of breast milk because she doesn't want this kid to be balloon boy. Well, what's in that breast milk, Mom, huh? God, man.
Breastfeed the kid turns into monstrosity.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Stop breastfeeding the kid, I guess. As shocking as it sounded to me at the time, I've since learned that putting babies on diets is fairly common, she wrote. Yeah, sure, Jessica Katz, blogger. Who'd you talk to? Well, my doctor says it's common, although he just got out of prison. But anyway, people get caught up in a baby's growth percentile and are disappointed when they have bigger, fatter, more monstrous babies.
What do you mean by monsters, man? How big they get?
Probably get about three stories high.
What? Are you kidding me?
Yes, I'm kidding. What do you think, man?
Well, I believed it.
Well, what do you? What's to believe, man? We're talking about fat kids three stories high. Oh, wow, here's one here. No, I'm kidding. Once 1 in 10 U.S. children younger than 2 is overweight, a statistic that has doubled over the past two decades, Time magazine reports. But although childhood obesity has become a major public health concern, many parents seem to be obsessing about their child's weight because of their own struggles with obesity. So that's what I'm telling you. Because the mom and the dad are fat tubs of guts. Then they look at the baby, and they're looking like, what do you call it, through fat eyes, you know?
What do you mean, fat eyes?
Well, the parents are fat, so everything they see is fat.
What? That's like reverse anorexia or something.
Sort of. So let's say the parents are overweight, and they've been sitting there with bucket after bucket, man. I mean, the Popeye's delivery guy, he gets no peace and he gets no rest. And the buckets are just, you know, they've got empty buckets of Popeye in the living room. Now the baby comes waddling in. Well, what do you think they're going to see?
Probably see dinner.
Yeah, they might want to eat the kid.
What do you mean, eat the kid? They got Popeye's coming through the door. They look at the kid and they go, look at how fat that kid is, too. In fact, the delivery guy's fat. In fact, they'll see Obama on TV, and he'll look like Fat Albert.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So that's what this guy is saying. These parents are obsessed with their own weight, so the kid becomes monstrous. I've seen parents putting their infant and one-year-old on diets because of a history of one parent or another turning into a big, fat tub of guts, said Dr. Jadinder Bhatia of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and he also said, I'm very happy to be in America, by the way. All right.
I have to read that.
Yeah, read it. It's really good for you. World-famous Phil Henry Show produced by Don Naylor and our associate producer with Dan Northcraft and our producer, executive style, Jason Rance. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com. Get a BSP for Christmas.
Phil Henry.